Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so happy you all are here. Let's join together in that quiet space within. So whatever you're doing, just pausing for the next few moments. Beginning by just sensing your breath. And turning attention within to your sense of willingness. Willingness to see differently. Willingness to not know. And willingness to let Holy Spirit be our guide. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. That love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. I've been on the go all day, so that was just lovely.
Yeah, don't ever change that, Corinne, the way you start the call. Don't ever change that.
We need it, right? Because we tend to be very engaged in the world throughout the day. And so just, what was that, a minute maybe? That was not very long, just that little bit of time, just pausing in an instant, a shift can happen. So it is really important. Not to worry. We'll always begin with a pause. Thank you.
And I have to say, if anybody wants to have that pause during the week, Corinne's CD is excellent, the mindfulness CD. So I use it sometimes.
Oh, Paul, thank you. Thank you so much.
Just had to say it.
Thank you. I'm in the process of birthing more in the, you all know that I've been working on a book for a while, and it has a corresponding meditation CD that I'll be working on as well, so there's more coming.
Now wait, how did Paul get the CD?
It's on Amazon, or cdbaby.com is the main place where you can get a digital download of it, too. So CD Baby also sells it on Amazon. So if you just go to Amazon and search for my name, it'll pop up. It's a series of five-minute mindfulness meditations.
I'll echo that, too. It's awesome, CD. I use it, too.
Oh, thank you, Deidre.
Wonderful.
I appreciate it. Thank you. So let's dive into the course. So we are on page 380 in the Sparkle Edition. Sparkle Edition, page 380, The Magnitude of Holiness. Course in Miracles Society, the original edition, it's chapter 16, part 3. And in the FIP edition, it's chapter 16, part 2. It's called The Power of Holiness. And I will prompt us because after we read the fourth paragraph of this section, there's a paragraph that appears in the Sparkle edition and the original edition that was edited out of FIP. So I'll just remind us when we get there. So let's dive in. You still think holiness is difficult because you cannot see how it can be extended to include everyone. And you have learned that it must include everyone to be holy. Concern yourselves not with the extension of holiness, for the nature of miracles you do not understand, nor do you do them. It is their extension, far beyond the limits you perceive, that demonstrates you did not do them. Why should you worry how the miracle extends to all the sonship when you do not understand the miracle itself? One attribute is no more difficult to understand than the whole. If miracles are at all, their attributes would have to be miraculous, being part of them. So this paragraph speaks to me to that reminder that we don't have to understand this to get it. We don't have to understand, you know, what miracles are, how to do them, what anything is. We just have to have willingness. We just have to have that willingness to be open, to be shown the truth about ourselves, the love that we all are. And I like how it opens up with saying, you still think holiness is difficult because you cannot see how it can be extended to include everyone. And yet you have learned that it must include everyone to be holy. So there's a little prompt, too, that when we notice those tiny judgmental thoughts or those tiny fear thoughts or those thoughts of separation, you know, that whoever it is, you know, the other. They are somehow separate from me and different. It's an opportunity to bring that judgment to the Holy Spirit because, again, we don't have to self-correct it ourselves. We're bringing it to Spirit within and asking to be given the truth instead. And so by letting go of, by dropping into the moment and having no judgment, that's where we experience these holy instants. So, you know, I love how it says you've learned that it must include everyone to be holy. So there's no one excluded from holiness. And it's just about being willing to see that.
Boy, that
what comes up
very challenging at times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But Paula, I mean, you've expressed so many stories, so many times So even though it can seem challenging, you know, all it takes is willingness. It's actually quite
simple.
It's
ongoing. It's just ongoing. It's that willingness is ongoing. It's not always, you know, it's not always there. It seems like I have to kind of process through a little agony at times. to get to the willingness. It's like, what am I doing? Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where, you know, we forget, again, what makes us happy. That's like, you know, how we say all the time, do you prefer that you be right or happy? And we lapse into wanting to be right. And then, oh, wait, right, this doesn't make me happy. Let's be happy instead. It's like, has anybody heard that poem? I have my folder right here. Let me just see if I can find it, because I use it sometimes in the mindfulness classes that I teach. It's an autobiography in 5 short chapters, and I don't have it. It's, you know, I walk down the street, I fall in the hole.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it their fault? I walk down the street, I fall in the hole. Oh, maybe it's my fault. I walk down the street, I walk around the hole, like finally I walk down the different street. Like we have to keep learning,
okay.
Keep falling
That's
into
it.
That hole.
Yep.
Yep, over and over before the little the light bulb goes off and it's like, oh. Oh. Anything else coming up for anybody in this paragraph so far?
I don't know if it's just my sense of humor or what, but I just find the line where it says, why should you worry about how the miracle extends to all the sonship when you don't understand the miracle itself? I just think that's so funny because, like, I was talking to someone earlier today about something that came up, and it was kind of one of those things that needed to be addressed. Like, I kept handing it over, and it just wasn't handing over. And so I decided to have a discussion with the other party involved, and that's what ultimately, you know, was we were able to come to peace with the whole situation. But in the course of the conversation, we both sort of were talking, and it was like, we don't know why this thing keeps happening and why, you know, we're choosing to lose our peace over it, but it's not our job to figure out the why. The figuring out the why is actually staying in the story of the whole.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
it was just really funny for me to read that section right then.
I love it that we can see the humor in this, because it is, we get called out. Of course, the Miracles calls us out constantly.
Yeah.
But I love how you said that, Deidre, because that's so true. And that's how also the Course teaches, that you don't have to follow fear through all of its circuitous routes, that as long as we just keep having that willingness, you know, to learn to undo these false perceptions in our mind, that truth is already there. We don't have to, mm-hmm. you know, figure it out. And like you said, stay stuck in the story. A lot
mm-hmm.
can happen in that moment of a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's funny, when you're a baby, I don't know if you can remember back that far, the world or like the sky could seem like a miracle. I mean, just trying to learn about life and have the experience, whether or not, you know, the dream and everything else, I understand that part. But just the perception, and I hate to say this, but as we get older, you know, do I have to fill in the rest? I mean, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like life can become like not so miracle oriented. So you need
mm-hmm,
like a wake up
mm-hmm.
call. You need this. You need us.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, those wake-up calls for a lot of people end up being some, for me, it was anxiety for, you know, something brought us to this point to look for something, to look for a better way, because we saw in whatever way the futility of the world, recognizing that, like, you know what, nothing here can ultimately make me happy, because it seems like I have everything, you know, that you could maybe want in life, and yet I'm still not happy. Maybe
still
that's
not
how
happy.
It happened. But
yep.
It's ultimately we come to wanting to find a better way. And so, you know, some of us are called for this path.
So the willingness is like the key.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I've got part of it.
You have willingness. You have willingness, Brian. You have, and that's the beauty, is that our willingness need not, the Course says, your willingness need not be perfect, because His is complete. So that's where, you know, our willingness can be literally the size of a, you know, a mustard seed. It can be that teeny tiny speck of willingness, and the Course is saying that that's all that you need for miracles to happen. Once you have gone into that place of willingness, then, you know, our success is guaranteed. Our problem are these beliefs that we continue to hang on to in our mind that were separate from our source. So it's about learning how to really trust to look past the picture and the things that show up in our lives that try to convince us of the reality, you know, of the world, that we are these limited bodies and these separate selves. So, you know, the healing is done already. And the times that I just can drop into that and recognize, like, wait a second, like, I don't have to struggle. This is done already. That's, you know, those are those moments of, like, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like, oh, right. I forgot. Again.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Carol. I just want to share something with what Brian was saying. Today I was with three young children, and, you know, seeing through their eyes, so to speak, with we went to a program at a local park called Potions, you know, Magic Potions. And it was so cool because the instructor said, you know, what kind of a word can we use, like abracadabra or something? And this one little boy, he's a five-year-old twin, he said feet. And, you know, it's just like, that was his magic word, feet. And then yesterday I was with an 88-year-old woman who has Alzheimer's, and we were sitting in her kitchen, actually her daughter's kitchen, and there's two big windows in the kitchen looking out into the blue sky. And it was just a beautiful visual of, like, everything's open, and I was able to point out to her the blue sky. And it's, I don't know, it was just like the different perspectives of things and how, I mean, she's in the house the majority of the time, and I had the boys out today, so I got a flavor of both sides, like you were talking, Brian, about, you know, when you're a child and you see things, and then when you're older and you see things. But it's, I feel like it's my purpose right now to be there and point these things out. And actually, these kids give me gifts with, you know, things, and the senior citizens give me gifts. But it's really helping me to live from a different perspective.
That's beautiful. And Carol and Brian, you know, you both brought this up about, you know, children seeing things and just this idea of, you know, noticing things. That's where, for me, the practice of mindfulness has been so helpful. Specifically, it's really helped with my study of the Course, because the Course calls for extreme mindfulness. It's asking us to look at our own minds and to pay attention to what's there and remember, you know, to turn to spirit within, to give our perceptions to spirit, asking for the miracle instead. And that requires a lot of mindfulness, because we need that awareness to know when it is that we're drifting off into judgment or fear or, you know, whatever that may be. So mindfulness has been super helpful for me. And with that, I can't help now but notice beauty in the asphalt on the road. Like, they're little tiny rocks in the asphalt, and they're actually quite beautiful if you look really closely. So, you know, I, just as one example, it's really helped me with just really appreciating, you know, the small things that we did notice when we were children, because there was that sense of wonder and, you know, amazement, that that's something that we can have back any moment, that we just slow down and really pause to appreciate what's in front of us right now.
You know, yesterday I had an experience. My daughter and I were walking downtown in Ocean Grove, and a woman had a little Burmese mountain dog, puppy. I'm telling you, the cuteness was beyond anything I've ever experienced in my life. I was like, oh, my God. It was, I can't put words to it. It was the most wonderful experience, the most wonderful lighthearted experience. My daughter did get a picture of him. I'm going to make sure I get it. You want to get happy. Oh.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It really was awesome. And every time I start to, you know, get screwed up again, I start thinking about that puppy. It was really... really quite something.
That's awesome.
You should get one.
I was going to say, that's how I feel about my chickens.
Oh, the chickens. Oh.
My
definitely the chickens.
But a little puppy has a furry cute factor that the feather babies just do not. So.
This was beyond
in their own way, certainly.
Cute. This was really out there cute. I've never seen anything like it.
You should get one. Get one.
You'll have to share your picture with us, Paula, if there's a way.
Oh, I will.
Let's read another paragraph before this turns into one of the nights where we are 45 minutes into the call and have only read one paragraph. Okay. There is a tendency to fragment and then to be concerned about the truth of just a little part of the whole. And this is but a way of avoiding or looking away from the whole to what you think you might be better able to understand. For this is but another way in which you would still try to keep understanding to yourself. A better and far more helpful way to think of miracles is this. You do not understand them, either in part or whole. yet you have done them. Therefore, your understanding cannot be necessary. Yet it is still impossible to accomplish what you do not understand. And so there must be something in you that does understand.
Oh, I love that.
And that is the Holy Spirit. That is whatever you want to call it, inner guide, mm-hmm. inner teacher, inner voice, intuition, whatever word it is that you're comfortable with. It's the part of our own mind that hasn't forgotten the truth of what we are. And mm-hmm. so I'm emphasizing that to make really clear that, again, Holy Spirit, whatever we call it, is not something outside of ourselves. It's literally our right mind. It's literally the part of our own mind that has not forgotten truth. So that part of our mind understands miracles, knows miracles. We're out of touch with that part of the mind because we've chosen to listen to the ego's voice instead. And so that goes back to the beginning of this paragraph where it says there's a tendency to fragment and then to be concerned about the truth of just a little part of the whole. And this is but a way of avoiding or looking away from the whole to what you think you might be better able to understand. So this is what we do in this world, is that we fragmented from our source, which is love and truth, into what we believe are these separate identities, these separate bodies, and we're obsessed with them. Like, you know, what am I going to eat for dinner? Am I going to be safe? Am I going to have enough money? There's this problem that I have, you know, and it's the I. It's the me, 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 you know, the I identity of this small self that we then become identified with, and it's that small self that is not our truth. So on this pathway of the Course, as we turn within, being willing to, you know, let miracles replace our faulty perceptions, we come to know again who it is that we truly are, bit by bit, as those false beliefs fall away, as we're ready to let them go. Hooray. Any more thoughts? Anything coming up for anyone? This is just really comforting to me that, you know, it's saying so clearly, we've done miracles, so our understanding cannot be necessary, but you do have to understand, so there is something in us that does understand. And so that's just so comforting to me to hear again, you know, that there's that part of our own mind that knows, that remembers.
But when you say we've done miracles, is that, is that the willingness? Is that the willingness?
Yeah.
Because we don't, mm-hmm. we really can't.
Exactly. Thank
it's
you.
It's the willingness.
Yeah. We're not
through our willingness, the miracle is done.
Yes. Perfect.
I mean, how many times have we experienced that?
Exactly. And that's the better way of saying it, that we've experienced miracles. You know, we don't do them of ourselves. It's spirit that's outside of our limited realm of perception. It's almost like, in my book, I write about it, I call it thought swapping. Like, you know, take this thought, give me back the truth instead. So we swap it out of with spirit, which is outside of our limited thought system. So you're absolutely right, Paula.
I can't think of anything specifically, but I know at work, numerous times I've been in situations that are just awful, really awful, and I've mentally made that shift. I'm not judging it. I don't know what this is. And within seconds, I mean, right before my eyes, it changes. And it's, mm-hmm. that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
that
really it. And I'm just blown away by it when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's why for me when the Course talks about a miracle being a shift in perception, that's what's so helpful, because it's not that you're doing something, it's that you're allowing the
yes.
shift to occur.
It's
allowing,
it's really being done through us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In him,
and
through him.
It's allowing into our awareness what already is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
truth already, that healing, that, you know, nothing has changed in truth. Truth is still true, and that healing has already happened. So it's just though. It's we're letting it back into our awareness.
It's like Lisa Natoli said something once, and it really stuck with me, because it's when we're in the thought process that God or Holy Spirit or intuition or whatever word you use for love or spirit is something outside of you, you then have a belief that, you know, whatever that presence is can leave you. But really it's the opposite. Like, it's the belief or the feeding the other belief system that's stepping further away from the truth without realizing that's what's happening. It's a choice to come back into alignment or whatever, however you want to phrase that. But it's God doesn't leave us. It's us that have the investment in this identity, and we are feeding that identity with beliefs and thoughts and whatever it might be. But it just takes the willingness to come back to the awareness of love's presence or the truth.
Because there really is nothing out there. I mean, everything out there is just a reflection of what's going on inside of our minds. So it's that ability to not believe this thing that seems to be happening out there.
Right.
And I think Abraham says something like, everything is already 99.9999% done. It's this illusion that we get caught up in that makes it seem like it's not already done. You know, that love is there, it exists, it's present, it's eternal, it's forever, it's always with us.
That 99.99%, so the 0.01% that's left, is the tiny mad idea, which is
it's
what
we tiny
seem
mad
to be
idea.
That's the tiny mad idea. And Deidre, when you were talking and sharing, that was super helpful, that idea too, that, you know, God didn't leave us, that we're the ones that turned away. You just reminded me of another part that I wrote about in my book. I love Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, Duck Duck. I grew up, you know, watching Looney Tunes. And there was one cartoon where it's a child and he's going, I want an Easter egg, I want an Easter egg. Is this ringing a bell for anybody? He's like flipping out because he wants an Easter egg. Like, I want an Easter egg. And I just got this, it's a part of the book where I use this as an example to sort of describe how, you know, we, again, like you said, Deidre, God didn't leave us. We're the ones that turned away and have now become fixated on these little Easter eggs, like these little, you know, separate identities that we have that we want. So you just reminded me of that when you said that.
Thank you.
Let's read the next.
This is Brian. I just wanted to ask Paula real quick. What is the mental exercise when you confront something and you know you're going to need spirit to deal with it? What is the exercise in your mind that you feel?
Help!
Sort of help!
Help! That's what it is.
That's what Bill Thetford did, too.
That's exactly what it is. It's as simple as that. Help me.
Really?
It's like the willingness
too, right?
Yeah, really. And it really is as simple as that.
Beautiful.
You know, but I think the blank, you know, I kind of become blank after that. It's like the awareness of, so you can see it, so you can experience the shift, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I this is Angela. I have to add something because I really feel like, I know, Corinne, you've said this, that you cannot do it. I cannot force it to happen. There's no way. So I think so many times I'll be in the middle of my work day and I'm going and going and going, and I think I get outside of work and I think, was I thinking about spirit? Was I thinking about Course in Miracles? I was frantically doing what I was doing, and I didn't think about it at all. I I guess it takes what it takes in terms of it can be a quick process or a really slow process. But, you know, I was laying in bed this morning and I was just laying there and thinking, and I have a really hard time being present in the moment. And what was going through my mind is I was not present at that moment. I was thinking ahead to the day ahead. I was thinking about yesterday, and I literally found myself saying, okay, that's, you know, I don't know what I said, but noticing was the very first thing to say, okay, wait, what's going on? No wonder there's no peace. But this goes on all day long. That's how it feels. So for me to say, okay, just to notice, to begin to notice, you know, we talk about the miracle, and this is very good, because especially when rage comes up, and I had that come up this past, I would say a couple of days ago, and I don't know what to do, and I don't see the willingness, and I know what to do. I mean, I know, but I'm not doing it. I say, okay, if I cannot turn it over, then I can share with the Holy Spirit, but I want something to change. I'm not feeling, I'm feeling, that I want that feeling to pass. And,
you know, one thing I think that's really important every day, and it's kind of I'm going to liken it to what you're talking about with mindfulness, Corinne, is I walk at the beach, you know, for an hour every day. I do 3 miles. If I wasn't doing that, there's something about that calms me down, you know, and it helps me throughout the day to kind of get in that place when I start to get really emotional, you know, and disturbed about something. There's something about that. If without that, I don't know. Because when I go down there and I do that walk, it's like I leave everything, anything that's bothering me when I start, by the time I'm finished, I don't even remember it. I don't even know what it was.
Thank you.
So I think we need to do things, you know, even if it's
sometimes
maybe a 15-minute meditation
really
or...
Right.
Anything, sometimes when we're, you know, stuck in whatever it is that's happening, doing, and this is going to vary from person to person in terms of what works, but I found for me, you know, changing my scenery, doing something different can be really helpful. So with Paul's example, going for a beach walk or jumping on my trampoline or, you know, just doing something to interrupt the continual flow of just being, you know, stuck in the future or the past, doing something physical can be helpful. And because we have to be where we're at. If we're having that willingness or not, and we're aware of it, like we can't force anything. We have to be where we're at. So seeing, you know, if there is something perhaps that you can do to, you know, interrupt that and to give yourself a breather, you know, that's really what it is. Because actually, Angela, I wanted to ask you, when you were saying how you were reflecting and asking yourself, was I thinking about spirit at all throughout the day?
Right.
I'm assuming your answer was no.
Yes.
And how did you feel about that?
So I could get down on myself, and I think at times I do, or just that kind of like that idea of, you know, I don't even have to use many words to say, you know, if I'm studying the course, I'm not doing it well enough. I mean, anybody could answer that question, if you know what I mean, you know, because it's all the same, right? So it doesn't, and then when I think that way, it doesn't make me feel better.
Right, right. And that's because that's the ego telling you that. The ego is always going to be that self-judgmental voice. It's going to say that you are not doing a good job with the course, you're not thinking about spirit, and you should be. It's always going to tell you, you know, that we're doing a crappy job here. It's going to pull out anything that it can that it thinks that you'll listen to. So it's important what you said, the noticing. That's a great, it's wonderful that you recognize that your mind was totally in the future and totally in the past. That's that awareness. That's that noticing. And so if we can notice when we lapse into self-judgment, that if there's reminders or something, you know, that you can place to yourself that, you know, self-judgment or whatever, however you want to word it, is the ego's voice, that, like you said, then you can maybe just say, if you're willing, all right, I'm going to share this with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share this with Spirit. So the more we beat down on ourselves for not doing it right, that's just listening to the ego again. And there's no guilt there. That's another, because then we can feel guilty. Well, gosh, now I'm listening to the ego, so I'm going to feel guilty about that. That's more ego. That's the ego laying on top of the ego on top of the ego. So it's we can't fix it ourselves. We can't get out of it alone. All we have to do, like you said, is just be willing to share it with Spirit, with, you know, wanting that different way. And if there is something that you can do to change your setting, to go for a walk, you know, that might be, that could be really helpful. It's again going to vary from person to see what works.
Thank you.
It can
Thank
also be as
much.
Simple as petting your cat.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I sit with Ethel sometimes for half an hour and just she gets furious if I move, so I have to sit there.
That's so true.
You know, anything to calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Did that help,
know,
Angela?
It did. You know, when here's the thing. When you know, like, I forget the person who, Paul, you asked Paula, you know, so what do you do when, you know, whatever happens? And Paula says, I say help, you know. And, you know, so it's very concrete. It only takes a second. But, you know, it's to the point sometimes I have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that is just like I say, I've had enough. I just no more. And that's a good thing because at mm-hmm. that point there's a shift. So it doesn't always happen, but, like, just really weird. I even though I know sometimes I feel like two steps forward, one step back, or whatever, there's glimpses of things that go on, and sometimes I fall for it, and other times I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'm not falling for this. So that's mm-hmm. that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. And one thing that I want to offer to everybody, because this has been so helpful for me this week, this is something that Nook Sanchez said. If we can be in appreciation for whatever comes up, it's coming up because it's an opportunity to bring it to Spirit. So it's we can feel grateful that we're being shown how I still believe in Corinne. I can be grateful how I am being shown that I still want specialness, or I can be grateful, you know, that I'm being shown that I still think I'm a body. Whatever, you know, it is that's coming up. Can we be grateful that it's coming up because, you know, we're being shown how we're still believing that we separated from Source?
That's very
that was
good.
Really big for me this
awesome.
Week.
Mm-hmm.
That was really big for me this week.
Me too,
you.
Corinne. You're speaking to the choir because the little frustration I talked about earlier, it was like I'm not at the point in my practice now that I've been doing this for quite a while that I consider myself to be quite diligent, but something happened this week that was just like really pressing my buttons, and the fact that it was pressing my buttons was really pissing me off. Like, I'll just be like, I was quite angry with myself, you know, and I just had to get to the point, I had to sit in meditation with my little meditation timer, you know, and give myself, like Paula was saying earlier, a 20-minute timeout and just, like, really focus on what it is that this experience was bringing up for me to learn from. And what I came out of that with is that the purpose of all these buttons being pressed, because really nothing's happening, but I believe that it is, And as long as I believe that it is, I can use the experience to become more centered in love and a stronger example of the light. So if I am able to stay centered and just allow myself to experience whatever's coming up, take it to spirit, and then not use whatever's coming up against anybody, including myself, I'm strengthening my ability to teach, or whatever word you want to use, or be the example, be the light. So that's what I came away from that with.
Now, what did you do? Did you take time to determine what it was that was bothering you? Is that what you...
No, I didn't. I initially tried to do that, and that just made me more upset, because I was trying to figure out what the problem was so I could fix it.
Right.
And what I came away from that was, is that I don't need to fix anything.
Right. I kind of had an experience this week too I was so angry, because the minute I got out of the car in the morning, when I get to work, a fellow stands outside of his car smoking a cigarette. Came out at the end of the day, he's smoking a cigarette, and I'm walking through this smoke, and I can't stand it. And this was going on a lot. And I asked myself, I was a smoker at one time. Why am I responding like this? Why is this making me? And what I realized is I felt like I was being victimized. And I am not a victim of the world I see. It's one of the workbook lessons. And I'm telling you, every time my mind would go to the anger about feeling victimized, I replace that with, I am not a victim of the world I see. I can't tell you how lighthearted I've become. And I I'm not kidding. Every time, if it happens again, that's where I'm going with my mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to say it once, I'm going to say it 100,000 times. And the more I say it, the better I feel. And it's not about him, and it's not about the cigarette. You know?
No.
It's good.
And when I really got quiet about it, it's not the situation at all or the factors involved. It was the fact I was angry that I allowed myself to invest in the idea that this could upset my peace.
Yes.
That's really
the bottom
line.
But it's uncovering that's so, I think that's so powerful when you really uncover it. We're never upset for the reason we think.
Never.
Really, but on a conscious level, I did not realize how victimized I actually felt by that situation.
And
once I realized it.
That you realized that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to share about what you shared about the man with the cigarette. You know, when you're in that space, when you're feeling really triggered by the outward situation, that's when you really don't want to, at least for me, I found, that's when it can be challenging to go, that's my brother, that's me right there. Because you just want to be like, oh, no, it's you. I'm pissed off at you. You need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that'll fix my peace, but it's always an inside job. And that's where the work of the Course is. That's where the work of the Course is. It's not anything being fixed on the outside.
DJ, you just reminded me of that expression, you know, if you're pointing one finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you, like your middle ring and pinky finger, like, you know, when you're making that point. So, yeah, our sole responsibility is to accept that undoing in our own minds.
You know, the thing is I guess I have to bring it not back to form, because if I bring that, what was just said, back to form, I get hooked again. And that's what I was thinking about, you know, that's what we're talking about tonight, is when we get hooked. And what do we do when we get hooked?
Right.
Maybe just noticing
and
I'm hooked again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Course is teaching us how to deny our denial of truth. The body's eyes are the ego's witness to the separation. It's what the ego uses to, you know, this part of our mind that's, let's make it, you know, I'm going to bring this back to us rather than saying the ego as if it's something outside, because it's not. The body's eyes are our chosen means to see things that are separate and to call, you know, to pick up the witnesses that this part of our mind that wants separation, you know, is projecting that out, and then that's what we're seeing back. And so we're being asked to look past appearances with the Holy Spirit. Again, we can't do this ourselves. We can't say, oh, it's just not real, I'm just going to look past it. And, you know, we can't do that by ourselves. We can do that with Spirit by saying, you know, I'm willing to look past this appearance. That's where, again, I go back to that prayer in the Course, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. So if we're looking to the appearance, again, it's like that with that Looney Tunes example that I used before, it's like, you know, turning our attention away from the whole and then zeroing in on this one little thing, you know, this one little part that seems to be separate from the whole. So this is prompting us to learn to not look to the body's eyes for truth, but instead turn within to let the Holy Spirit's vision come forth. And that's when, yeah, that's what this is all about, is that different vision.
Being
in right-mindedness.
This is Robin.
Go on.
I just wanted to say, like, you know, tweak me if I'm wrong, but like, if say the cigarette for Paula was a healthy thing, and that that it was then that magic, you know, that you believe in something that is outside the body that comes in that can be a healer. Well, this is like the opposed version of that. This is cigarette that's coming into a part of the body. Can it be used in the example of magic, or is that just a one-way notion?
No, you're absolutely right. So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that if the belief that something out from the outside can hurt us, is that what you're saying?
The converse of it being magic is magic helps us. So this would be that this hurts me, so I immediately feel attacked in some way.
Right. Yes. You're absolutely accurate that just as we believe that certain things can help us, like magic, it is the same the other way, that, you know, there's a belief that certain things can hurt us, that you shouldn't eat all ice cream for, you know, eat ice cream every single day of the week, or you shouldn't eat, you know, whatever it may be every day, or your cholesterol will go up. These, again, are the laws of the world, and if they were true, they would be true all the time, and they're not true. There are people who are chain smokers who don't get cancer and live long, long lives. There are people who, you know, who are always exceptions to the rules. And so, you know, if it was true, it would be true all the time. So you're absolutely right that that's another belief. Believing that something outside of us can hurt us is another belief to look at with Spirit, because those beliefs are affirming this idea that we are separate bodies that are vulnerable and can be subject to death. So you're absolutely right.
Or perhaps maybe even that has greater power than, say, the all power that is God, you know. Like,
yeah,
you know, that one statement that comes in one of the first few chapters, it says all power is of God. So if I give my credence over to
that smoke, and I'm very much interchangeable with this myself. I relate to this, identify with this. If that smoke is coming my way, I physically move myself to out of the way of the smoke, even if it means walking into the street. I have a very visceral reaction to that. So therefore, I lost my train of thought. But I think where I was headed with it was it's not the power. That's not the power in the moment. I don't want to bring it down to a program level where I'm giving more power to that than I'm making that inordinately a power greater. But I wanted to keep it on the level of if magic is what we think, if we can take a pill and that can help us, then that's just magic thinking, because the real root of the belief has to be with where our source is, and that source is the identification that will keep us free of the disease.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Well said.
What was that? I missed what she just said. What did she just say about source? I couldn't understand what she said.
Oh, I don't think I can sum it up. Sum it up, Robin? I don't think I can sum it up.
The power, if you're making something like a power is greater than I am, right? So if I'm giving greater power and greater credence thereby for a smoke lust coming, coming into my face, I'm disidentifying more greatly at a root belief level that my source is where my true sense of, I guess, liberation
I got it now. Yeah, I didn't quite understand. You know, it was funny because once I really became more peaceful around this situation, I started to see all the alternatives I had. Once I realized that I was actually feeling victimized, I started to see all the alternatives. Well, I'll come in a few minutes earlier and I won't be in, I'll leave a little later in the day. I just could all of a sudden see all of the ways that I'll just turn around and go back in the lobby until he gets in his car. You know, but when you're so angry and so caught up in the illusion and the drama of the thing, you don't see those alternatives. You know, you just feel like you're stuck and you're a victim. And that workbook lesson, I am not a victim of the world I see, is so powerful and applies to so many situations.
Can I share a specific example about cigarette smoke? This is so funny. Thank you for reminding me of this. So I am the worst with my nose because my husband and I joke around that I can smell down to like 2 parts per million. I have no idea. That's super just kidding around. But if there's smoke in the air or a scent, you know, I'm like, what is that? And so cigarette smoke, I identify, you know, I will move out of the way. Don't burn certain candles near me, like that kind of thing. Well, I was visiting with a very dear friend. This friend smokes because they love it. They just like smoking. And I hadn't seen this person in a long time, so I was really happy to be with them. And we were together, and they're like, "Oh, you know, do you mind if we step outside for a cigarette?" And I didn't want to leave their side, so I'm like, "Sure, no problem." You know, that cigarette smoke did not bother me at all.
Oh,
it did not bother me at all because, again, it's the belief. So there's a example of the level of mind where that smoke did not bother me. It may as well not even have been there because I just was oblivious to it. I just genuinely was in love and wanted to be with that individual.
Oh, love is the answer. Love is it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't happen to love this guy that was smoking that cigarette. I don't even like him. and some level, the clearer I became around all of this and the more peaceful I became with it, the thought that this is God meeting God.
Yeah.
There's no
God
separation.
Meeting God, is that what you said? Yeah.
This is God meeting God.
Yeah.
We are all. There's no division. There's no nothing that separates us.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Did you say there's no position? Because that was really perfect.
No division, I think.
No
division.
No
division. Yeah,
no
division.
Division. Nothing. There's nothing that separates us.
Because I was thinking back to when Corinne was asked. Now, the variable here is that was a thought relationship. Like, oh, I love to be with this person. And then on top of that, the person offered her a choice. Do you mind if I step outside? Whereas this person just seems like, well, you know, it just seems like it's sort of like a forced situation. He's in my way, and I have to go that way, and he hasn't asked my permission, and I'm just left to walk into it.
But it's also to the belief. So take a different example for me. I love my husband, and I love being with my husband, but I'm not going to let him light a candle or put on really strong cologne around me. So it was really the belief, rather than just, you know, the love that I was feeling, which definitely, you know, has a factor. It's more of the willingness to drop what I think I need, what I think is going to be good for me. It was the willingness to just drop that and just be, you know, just be with that person. So it really is, you know, about being willing to let go of our beliefs about ourselves.
I like that you said that. That's growth, right? That sounds like growth. The willingness to drop what I need, you know, for, say, like, I know this is a really cut to the point way, but for the greater good. It sounds so cliche.
Right. Yeah, dropping the beliefs about myself not only help me, it does help the greater good also, because we're all connected.
But
we're at the
I
top
like
of
how
our time together. Yeah, oh, thank you.
I drop what I need.
Yeah, thank you. Well, this isn't one of those nights where we only read one paragraph. It's one of those nights where we only read two. So next week, maybe what I'll do is just reread the two paragraphs and then continue on, and we'll do more of the sections. So thank you, everybody, so much for being here and holding the space for each other. Big group hug.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.